Welcome, everybody. Shir number 1162. We're learning today. Lila Nishmas Moisha Dayv, Ben Rabbaran Zisa, Lila Nishmas Blima, Basra Moisha, and Rufu Shalema Rivka Basmir Mihudis. Getting back to our Malacha of Tzad trapping. Okay, we're trying to put the, as they say in English, final touches on the Malacha of Tzad. Just a few more ins and outs, a few more interesting questions, and we will move on from there. Hopefully, Bezras Hashem, the Malacha of Shoychet. Slaughtering and see how that works in many various interesting shaylos questions that come up in that malacha as they pertain on a, you know, as they come up on a weekly Shabbos. So just an interesting case, which doesn't come up too often, but it could come up here and there. In reference to somebody has an aquarium, they have a large fish tank, and one of the fish that might be somewhat expensive jumped out of the tank, and it's still alive. Meaning what? That if you get it back into the tank, it'll live, it'll survive. So is one allowed to do that? And there's a problem over here of muksa, as we know that moving animals in general, all type of animals, are muksa on Shabbos. So the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, interestingly enough, Taka brings down, and he says that a fish, he brings down in Perek Chav Zayin, in Ois 28, Ois Chav Ches, he says a fish which has jumped out of an aquarium on Shabbos or on Yom Tov for that matter, he says like this, that may be put back to prevent it from suffering. We'll see in the Sefer Lam Tes Malachas, he explains a little bit more, question of Psar Balachaim. So long as there is a reason, to suppose that it will continue to live when returned to the water. If the fish is already there for a while, so it's not going to happen. But, if there's a chance that when by throwing it back into the water, it's going to survive, so then one will be allowed to do it. He does bring down, there are those who do aser it, but the Sefer Lama Tes Malachas. So again, the Sefer Lama Tes Malachas brings down, on page 880, but in Ha'ara number 150, he brings from the, from Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, like we just saw, he brings from others also, Tiltel Muksa, B'makam, he says, B'makam Tzar Balachayim, and from Sefer Tiltel Muksa, he brings out also the B'makam Pseida, Yesh Lahakov V'chei Mistabed, that, if it's a loss of money, you know, this fish is expensive fish, whatever the case is, so that would also be another reason, going in conjunction with also Tzar Balachayim. Now, we did mention last year, in general, most, the shailas of when it comes in reference to fish tanks and fish in general, a dead fish and so on, so one should definitely ask. But in this case, it's a little bit hard, it's a quick thing, right? Or these fish, all of a sudden, somehow whatever got into them, they jumped, one of them jumped out, somehow you gotta either throw it back in. If you wait too long, it's not gonna survive, obviously, without the water. So it has to be done right away. So it's an important thing to know. So just real quickly to read in the English, he brings down on page 880. If a rare, does the Sefer Lama Tes Malachas, if a rare or expensive pet fish, so I guess L'chayr, if it's just, any old goldfish, so it wouldn't apply, but he does say if it's a rare or expensive pet fish jumped out of its fish bowl or tank, one may return the fish to the bowl, even though it will be necessary to handle the fish, which is muksa, for the reasons we spoke about, Tzar Balachayim and Makam Pseida, it's expensive and so on. He goes on to explain further. This ruling is based on a combination of principles, allowing that in some cases the consideration of Tzar Balachayim, which is animal suffering, and of financial loss. He says together, Tzar Balachayim, number one, and number two, financial loss, take precedence over the restriction of muksa. Now, of course, we have to understand this does not apply to all of muksa. This is a singled out case. Right? We have Tzar Balachayim on the fish. Also, it's a little bit more of an expensive type of fish, and it costs a lot of money. So, or costs quite a bit of money, let's put it like that. So that's what he says. Again, this ruling is based on a combination of principles allowing that in some cases the consideration of Tzar Balachayim and of financial loss take precedence over the restriction of muksa. As opposed to other muksa, of course, we can't, like we said, we cannot apply these principles to other aspects of muksa. It's only in this one case. Because he says further, because the fish will suffer and die if not replaced in the water, the restriction of muksa in this case, like he says, is waived. Now, it's just interesting to note, the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa does bring down in Perek Chav Zayin, in Ha'aret Tzadik Ches on the bottom, in reference to if you're allowed to be metaltal muksa mishim tsar balachayim. In other words, for animal suffering, if you're allowed to be metaltal muksa, he brings from the Chazonish, that goes with the Elio Rabba Lakula, others say not, so, but be it as it may, so he does bring down mishim tsar balachayim, one has to be careful, but he does bring down, like we said in the Sefer, Lamed Tes Melachis, that Lamaisa, if it's makam seda also, if makam hefsid, a little bit more of an expensive fish, and together with sarba lechayim, so then there's room to be makel to throw back into the water. That's why he says the words, if a rare and expensive pet fish jumped out of its bowl or tank. Because lamaisa, just on the sarba lechayim part, the animal suffering part, there is a machloike. So we're not going to get into that part right now. Obviously, if there's an issue of sar balachayim, and as some people have asked me in the past also in reference to an animal and certain medicines that they need, and it could be a question of, whatever the case is, possibly moving the animal, the person has to definitely ask a rav before they do that and find out how to do it, what has to be done, if it's tzar balachayim is enough, or makam seda, loss, whatever the case is. But this one case is what we're talking about right now in reference to the fish. It's a little bit more of an expensive fish, jumped out, just throwing it back in. So he does say there is room to be makel over here, because of the tzar balachayim. And the fact it's a little more expensive. Also, there's another thing that he brings down to the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, whereby someone to say possibly if the animal is just dying, so there's no real tzar b'lechaim. Like in this case, the fish jumped out and he's gonna die and that's it. There's no real tzar b'lechaim over there. There's no animal suffering. It's just like the animal dies and that's it. So that's also something to consider. But be it as it may, when the dust settles, that's how he brings it down to the Sefer Lamed Tes Melachos. The bottom line, if a rare and expensive, pet fish jumped out of its fish bowl or tank, one would be allowed in that case to return it because of, like we said, the Tzar B'lechaim and the loss of money. Now, just one interesting note from yesterday, but we spoke about last time, in reference to removing a dead fish whereby it could be problematic to the other fish. Again, we said one should ask. It's a question of it brings down the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa in Perek Chav Zayin Ha'ara Chav Tes Ois Chav Tes. So he says im yesh bekach mishum hefsid gadol, possibly. But again, one should ask. But one thing he does say, I was thinking about, what about borer? You're removing a bad from good, right? So ve'em bezer mishum iser berirah. He says an interesting thing, Mishmir Shabbos, that the iser of borer would not apply over here. It's a question of muksa, yeah, so that you have to be careful, and one has to ask. But a question of what's considered the hefsek gadol or whatever the case is, but a question of borer he brings down would not be a problem. It's not considered mixed up, he wants to say. Very interesting how he brings down the bottom an ois kuf, or a kuf actually, ki dogim chayim, living fish, umesim, and dead fish, eina me'uravim, are not considered mixed up, eina me'uravim klal b'mayim, when you take it out, so whatever the case is, so it's not considered mixed up. Interesting concept. Okay, just to finish off, we're trying to finish off tzad b'chlal, but he brings down a reference to pet fish also. There's a sefer lamed tes melachos. We're not going to get into all the ma'amar kaimis right now, but he says, as with other house pets, which we spoke about last time, fish in a bowl may be fed on Shabbos. You're allowed to feed the fish. We said last time. However, the water, interesting thing he says, however, the water may not be changed on Shabbos. You can't change the water of the fish tank, right? You're dealing with muksa and so on, obviously. So the water may not be changed on Shabbos, or Yom Tov for that matter, right? Because this requires some additional exertion of non-Shabbos nature and could obviously entail muksa and so on. So obviously that we don't do, which is considered a... okay, so he goes on to say, though, one interesting thing I did want to mention, fresh water, but he says just simply fresh water may be added to the existing water because this does not require significant effort or so on. There's no moving a muksa or whatever. Just adding fresh water he does bring down would be okay. Now, I just want to read from the Sefer Shabbos Kehilchasa, how he brings it down. It's interesting, very interesting concept to keep in mind. If somebody has a fish tank, he says like this. It's in Chav Zayin, Perek Chav Zayin, Ois Chav Zayin. So he says, just to read in the English, it's taka asa to change the water in an aquarium containing fish on Shabbos or Yom Tov, like we said. If, however, he does say, if, however, it's necessary to add water, to add water every day. Let's say on a daily basis, the person adds water to the aquarium, to the fish tank or whatever. One has to be careful. There's electric lights or whatever. All that stuff, of course, can't be dealt with at all on Shabbos. It's not the issue. We're dealing with just simply the water, and the tank itself. If, however, it's necessary to add water every day, one may do so. He brings on, does the Sefer Shemir Shabbos Kehilchasa. One may do so even if the aquarium is also contains plants, these type of aquatic plants, these plants, I guess, that grow on the bottom, whatever. So you'll say, how could I add water? As we know, you're not allowed to add water. But he does say, first of all, it's all in water anyways, but he does say the reason why it's permitted, it's allowed to add water on Shabbos Yom Tov, either plants, the fish, I understand, but either plants, you can't water plants, we know that by now, right? So the reason why it's permitted, it's allowed to add water on Shabbos and Yom Tov is that the fish are dependent on man for their food, so you're allowed to feed them, and adding water, he says, is the same category as feeding them, since without additional water, they are liable to die. So that's the reason why one will be allowed to add water. You can't change water, but to add water. He just says a little further, just to finish it off, there are good grounds for adopting a strict approach in treating an aquarium together with the water, which contains fish as muksa. Like we said, if somebody has to move it, one should double check, ask a rav, and so on, for whatever reason might be. And he just finishes off, one fears that the fish are liable to die without changing the water. If I don't change the water, let's say on a two-day Yom Tov, or possibly two-day Yom Tov, and then Shabbos, so it's 3 days. So if one fears that the fish are liable to die without changing of the water, one may ask a guide. You could ask a non-Jew, even on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, to change the water, provided that in the process he does not allow the fish to be without water, even for an instance, because that could be running into a problem of killing them. Out's the muksa part, shvus to shvus, okay, whatever, the heterim, the makam hefsid, whatever the case is. But that's how he brings it down. He hands off in case of, but one has to be careful. Again, the same thing. If one fears that the fish are liable to die without the changing of the water on a longer, 2-3 day Yom Tov or whatever, so then he says asking a guy or a Jew can't do it, of course, but asking a guy, on Shabbos to change the water or Yom Tov or whatever, provided that in the process they don't allow the fish to be without water, even for an instance, like we said, because that could be running into a problem of Shoychet, and so on. So there is room to maneuver with that. Thank you for listening. Atzlach and Bracha Kol Tov.